Desire your prayers again this morning. Thank you for that little chorus. Kind of ties in with the thought the Lord has given me for this morning. And if you think about standing still and letting God move, if a person has lost hope, are you going to stand still? Probably not. You're going to go off and do something else. Just forget that. Whatever. So, a little burden I have tonight, this morning, I'll write the title on the board. So I've written on the board three words. It is hope within us. And we have a song in our hymnal that maybe we can sing at the close of service here that has some of those words in it. But thinking of hope in general, you think about it, it's not, hope shouldn't be taken as something abstract or unachievable, just something out there that's like, but no, hope is truly something we can have within us. And in fact, that's, if we don't have hope within us, how are we ever going to get the victory? How do you think we'll ever make it to heaven? If we don't have something to look forward to anticipate, to expect that God's going to help us through this life and God has a wonderful reward over there on the other side. So truly, hope within us is very important. But to define hope, we could say hope is a joyful expectation. And in contrast, or coupled with faith, you think of hope as essential to faith. In other words, if you don't have any hope, then you can't believe. Just think about that. If you don't have any hope in God, then are you really going to believe Him? Are you going to act upon His promises in faith believing? So hope is a joyful expectation. Faith is confidence. We have to have faith, confidence, and to trust the Lord. But there has to be hope even before that. Okay? So, and to think of it in another way, and if a lot of us, I know I talk this way sometimes, I think it's easy for all of us, we'll be talking about a particular challenge or a difficulty someone is going through. It's like, well, I hope, you know, things will get better, and I hope, you know, you'll, whatever the case is, hope that God will heal you, or hope that God will work things out, and so on and so forth. And then that's good to say that. I'm not disqualifying that. But there is something deeper. It's as if hope can also have, if just spoke in that sense, can also have a hint of a little bit of dread or worry, as if, well, I sure hope you get better. You understand what I'm saying here? But to have a joyful expectation, that means we have full confidence that God's going to work something out. Even though we don't see the end and we don't understand what is at stake necessarily or how God is working, my hope and confidence in the Lord is that He's going to work all things together for my good, as the Scripture says. But what can happen is, if hope dwindles because of the fears of what we have, the fears or the doubts or concerns of what might take place, that's not real hope. In other words, we can say, well, I hope that things will all work out and everything will be okay. All right, that leaves room for some fears and some doubt. And to take it a little deeper, if it could actually end up being dread, you understand the point there? That you can make those statements in such a way that there's actually some dread embedded in that. That's like, well, I just hope that everything's going to be okay. You see, we've all said it, all right? But I'm trying to get us to think just a little deeper here. That true hope, and to have hope within us, actually it breeds faith, greater faith and confidence in God. And then it gives us courage to move forward. Because let's be honest with ourselves. And I'll just use myself for example. I remember in school, there were some things that I really dreaded. And I would use that phrase sometimes. Well, I hope I can pass this test. You understand what I'm saying? But I knew that there was something, there were some doubts. And there were some fears because of my lack of studying. Or just retaining whatever I've been learning and trying to comprehend there. And then I'm like, I hope I'm going to do okay on this test. You see what I'm saying? But when hope is truly alive, you can go into that situation with confidence saying, you know what? I've done everything. I've studied the material. I've grasped what the teacher was saying. And I've really got into this. And so I'm going to go into this test with a true hope that I'm going to pass it. Okay? Now, thinking of another aspect of hope, there's also a side of, and speaking of fears, that sometimes it's almost we're waiting or anticipating the loss or rejection. Okay? Now, I'll share just a very short little story here. It was about a shoe salesman that had visited some Australian natives years ago. And he went there anticipating to make a lot of good sales. But he left with no hope. And in despair, he kind of hung his head and left the country there. He said, there's no business there. They don't wear shoes. Okay. Understand the concept here. He's like, they don't wear shoes. They have no need. They have no need, you see. So another salesman shows up and he sees they have no shoes. Oh, perfect opportunity. Let me show you what these shoes can do. Let me demonstrate. All right. So hope was revived. There wasn't a fear of rejection and of loss. Well, I've wasted all this time and money to travel here. I've lost opportunity. They don't even wear shoes. I'm just going to go back home, you see. So what kind of mindset do we choose to have? They don't wear shoes. Well, that's too bad. Let's show you how shoes can be very helpful. How they protect your feet, keep them warm, so on and so forth. So thinking of hope and these various aspects, I think is a good reminder that it's easy to allow things around us, whether it be our circumstances or whether it be the environment we're in. In fact, I want to read some scriptures about a prophet. I want to talk about Jeremiah. And we'll read some scriptures here in Lamentations here in a moment. But before I read those scriptures, I want us to consider this. How many of us in this room this morning have actually experienced true warfare, bloodshed, and maybe having our homes ransacked by enemies, our chapel destroyed, maybe some children or loved ones taken captive, some killed, and experience great distress, maybe lack of food and shelter and all those things. I can't fathom what many folks throughout history have had to deal with. And here we have Jeremiah, and many of them call him the weeping prophet, and rightfully so. In his time, there was much difficulty, turmoil. And the book of Lamentations he writes about, you could say it's almost like speaking of a funeral, like he's you know, this is the last of my country, last of my nation, and it's gone. And that's how he was feeling. And again, rightfully so, and looking at all the death and destruction, and he truly felt hopeless. And that's where some of these scriptures come into. In fact, let's read in the third chapter. I'm going to read, just kind of skip through here, some of the verses 1 through 18. I'm not going to read them all. But this is how he was feeling, okay? And it's easy for emotions to affect whether we have true hope within us or not. And so here he is pouring out his heart. He's saying, verse 1, I am the man that has seen affliction by the rod of his wrath. He hath led me and brought me into darkness, but not into light. Surely against me is he turned. He turneth his hand against me all the day. Verse 5, He hath builded against me, encompassed me with gall and travail. He hath set me in dark places as they that be dead of old. He hath hedged me about that I cannot get out. He hath made my chain heavy. And when I cry and shout, he shutteth at my prayer. In verse 11, he hath turned aside my ways and pulled me in pieces, and he hath made me desolate. Verse 15, he hath filled me with bitterness. He hath made me drunken with wormwood. He hath also broken my teeth with gravel stones. He hath covered me with ashes. And thou hast removed my soul far off from peace. I forgot prosperity. And I said, my strength and my hope is perished from the Lord. Now that's a pretty sad picture, isn't it? And he's speaking of what he's experiencing, what everything he's gone through and what he's witnessing. And you think about, and I believe in some regards, we can relate to it a little bit here in America. We're not in a outright war where we have soldiers running up and down our highways and our back roads with tanks and airplanes dropping bombs on us and those type of things. But yet, America is in a warfare, and it's more of a spiritual, I believe, a moral warfare. There's a lot of things going on that it's just like one thing after another, a law passed here and a law passed there, and then you hear of situations happen over here and the beliefs that people are imbibing over here and allowing sin and wickedness to run rampant. And it's sad. It really is. And a person can really get down about it if you focus on that alone. And you can, honestly, you can kind of lose hope in the future of our country, can't you? If you dwell on that. And you think of Jeremiah and where he's at. Now, he saw the destruction before him. It was obvious. You couldn't deny it. And he felt forsaken. He felt alone. He was one of the few believers. There were just a small number of them there. And you consider his situation. Very miserable in this state of emotion. But you know, Jeremiah, he didn't stay in that frame of mind. Let's read on. In verse 19, it says, remembering mine affliction and my misery, the wormwood and the gall, my soul hath them still in remembrance and is humbled in me. Now, let's consider just for a little bit here what he's saying. And to take this a little further, he says, verse 19, remembering mine affliction and my misery and the wormwood and the gall. The wormwood was simply a plant-like sagebrush that they could make liquor from its oil. And it was a very bitter taste. And if a person consumed much of that, it would deteriorate your mental facilities. And it was something of, you could ultimately die from it if consuming too much of it. But it was a symbol of bitterness, of emotional intensity, of agony, and true agony. And you can imagine if you tasted some of this, and maybe a whole lot of it, you would be in agony, physical agony. Well, gall was a poison from plants, and it would cause, again, severe physical pain, and being a symbol of extremely stressful emotions. So there's the agony of seeing your country wiped out and your loved ones being taken captive and the temple being torn, you know, just all these things happening around you. So truly a lot of emotional agony, being, you know, think of the time and energy that all put into this nation, and then it was just destroyed and taken captive. And just, I can't imagine having to experience that. It's bad enough if you, those that maybe own their homes and have lived through some natural disasters, whether it be a windstorm or flooding or whatever the case is, and that's challenging enough. But to have people intentionally come in and destroy things that you have invested in, all right? Things, a place that you once knew as home, or a place of worship, all right? Or again, a loved one that used to be here and now they're gone because someone took their life, or they're taken captive. So, understanding where Jeremiah is coming from, this is extreme. Okay? It really is. But he didn't stop there. In verse 21, he says, "This I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope." Now, what is he saying here? It's as if he's saying, this is all true. I can recall all this to my mind. But he still knows who is in control. He was part of God's people to begin with, Jeremiah and the ones there in Judah. But he's saying here, I haven't forgot who God is. And with him confessing all these things, it's as if he's humbling himself down before God, saying, Lord, here is where I'm at. And in myself, this hope is at a low ebb. Okay? But again, he didn't stop there. Okay? Because it goes on, verse 22, "It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness." You know, this is something, he said again, "It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed." In other words, Jeremiah is saying, I'm still here. I'm still alive. God has still been faithful to me up until this time. And God's going to be faithful to me until my end on this earth. And so you think of Jeremiah in verse 25. I want to read this too. "The Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him." If a person has a hope and expectation within them of the Lord, then they are willing to wait. And as a song I referenced earlier, you're going to be willing to stand still and let God move. Okay? In other words, it's with joyful expectation. Say, Lord, none of this makes sense. And I would have not chosen any of these things. But yet I know you're still God. And I know if it weren't for you, I would have been consumed, perhaps even in my own bitterness and wrath, and maybe lashed out at someone. But yet, Lord, you are faithful to prick me in my conscience and say, Lord, I can't do that. Because you've given all of us, all right, we're all free moral agents to choose who we want to serve. And Lord, I choose to serve you. Lord, I choose to hope in you. I choose to have faith in you, Lord. And my expectation is in you. Well, again, this was Jeremiah back a few hundred years before Jesus came. But you know what God was doing? Yeah, the temple may have been destroyed or looted and so on and so forth. But that wasn't the focus, you see. Again, without going into a lot of detail, focusing towards the wonderful plan of salvation, that, Lord help us, that we not focus on the things around us. And I don't say that lightly. That's something we have to be intentional. You can look around again. Let's take it to where we live today, in our nation right now. It's easy to look around and think, this is terrible. And it is. But folks, we don't have to let all our hopes and dreams hinge. We don't have to allow all our hopes and dreams to hinge upon the prosperity of our nation. We enjoy the prosperity, the freedoms. Of course we do. And we're thankful for them. Lord, help us to take advantage of them. But at the same time, we can't focus on those things alone. Is our hope within what our government, what our nation, what the rulers of our land can do for us? If that's as far as our hope goes, we're in trouble, quite frankly. But if our hope is in the Lord, our joyful expectation within us of what God can do, not necessarily to cater to our every little need, but it's what God can do within us, okay? It's how God can transform us, and we acknowledge, as Jeremiah did here, he said, it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. It says, it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed because His compassions fail not. And it goes on, they are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. When we are willing and able to step back from whatever situation and look at it and say, Lord, my hope is still in you. Because, quite frankly, other people will let us down. Organizations will let us down. We will let ourselves down. If we have hope in ourselves alone, we're in for a rocky road too. It's a lot of disappointment. But when our hope is in the Lord, and I want to go back to the story of the salesman that were trying to sell the shoes. It's looking for the opportunities for God to work in our own individual lives. And it's allowing ourselves not to focus and look at all the gloomy, discouraging things around us, which is easy to do. Let's just be honest with ourselves this morning. It's easy to do because it's right there. It's right here, Lord. And you can be telling someone else, it's right here. Can't you see it? And someone else will be like, no, I really don't see it. But they may be saying, but I have some things over here. You know, because that's where we're at, okay? Well, if we look at these things as opportunities for God to work in us and through us and for us, to bring us into a wealthy place. I mentioned last Sunday about through the fire. And you think of, again, the story of the three Hebrew children. Their hope was not in King Nebuchadnezzar. Their hope was not in how fast they could maybe run around that fire to try to get their mind off of the pain and the heat. That was impossible. They couldn't do that. Their hope was not in, oh, you know, if we're in there for, you know, just a few seconds maybe and somehow we jump out, we'll be okay. No, their hope and confidence was in God. They allowed God to work in their situation. So here's a question. How do we obtain or exercise the hope that we must have? We'll ask it this way. Does hope just come down in some little balloon right in front of us and say, here's hope right here. Now just grab it. Or does hope, is it delivered by the mailman to your front door? Like, oh, open the door. Oh, there's a package of hope right here. That's exactly what I need right now. How does hope come? Or is it something where you just speak the words of, I got hope. I got hope within me now. I just spoke it. I have hope now. No, it doesn't come that way, folks. It comes by, first of all, reading and understanding God's Word. Now I want to read a scripture in Romans, the 15th chapter. In Romans 15, and verse 4. It says, "For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope." Simply put, all these scriptures written here in God's Word was not just something for us to read to keep us busy. You know, like as a punishment or something. Oh, well, you've been a bad boy today, so guess what? You get to read 20 chapters in the book of Psalms. No. But rather, these words were written for our encouragement. To learn who God is. And to learn how God worked with His people. Like with Jeremiah. God didn't forsake him. God met him there. That's how he was able to write those words. His compassions fail not. Great is thy faithfulness. That means God was faithful to pay Jeremiah a visit. Right after he had experienced and expressed all these other negative feelings and emotions and the anguish and the being distraught and yes, the dread and all those things mixed in with it. Yet, we get to we have the privilege of reading these words. And we take courage from reading these words. There's another scripture in Psalms 119, I want to turn and read. Psalms 119, verse 114. Psalms 119, verse 114. It says, "Thou art my hiding place and my shield. I hope in thy word." And here's the amazing thing. I don't know, perhaps some of you all have done this before. I think a lot of us have. But have you ever, whatever situation you're in, have you ever tried to, I'm like, you know what, I know there's a story in the Bible that I can connect with here, that I can relate with. And you go scurrying through the Bible, and invariably, you will find one. It may not be exact, and that's not the point here, because... But yet, the principle, okay, of the Scriptures and of the hope and of the victory that God gives His children to have the hope within them to fully trust the Lord in whatever situation they're in, that there's something about that it brings a comfort to think, you know what? I'm not the only one that's walked this road before. Many stories, we're not going to go over them here this morning. But to think again of how Jeremiah, the three Hebrew children, and the list goes on. How did they learn about hope? Their experience. And the word that was passed on down to them. And they heard of the stories of Moses leading the children of Israel out of Egypt and all the miracles God performed. And prior to that, they read of how Jacob and his name was changed to Israel because he wrestled with the angel that night. Because Jacob had to have something. He was dreading meeting his brother the next day. He's like, Lord, I got to have something. His hope and confidence was in the Lord. It wasn't in his physical strength because he was, quite frankly, wore out from wrestling. And that's why in the end, he was literally just hanging on. But he held on, folks. His hope was not in despair. There was something about many other stories. We don't have time to go through them all. But there's another little story I want to remind us of. In Pilgrim's Progress, you remember about giant despair and the encounter that Christian and Hopeful got into? Christian's companion, Hopeful, They were weary on their journey, and they tried to find an easier path. That sounds natural. If you're tired, weary, you try to find an easier path. So that's what they did. But in the process of time, they got lost in the storm, and they were ultimately caught by giant despair. And what do you think happened? They'd pat them on the back, say, hey, this is where you need to go, and get them back on the road, and they were gone. Is that how it happened? No. He grabbed them, he beat them, and threw them in the dungeon without any food. Again, that's no doubt how Jeremiah was feeling. It's like, now we're here. The country's destroyed, and many taken captive. Don't know what to do. Well, so here's Christian and hopeful in the dungeon, no food, no water, no light for days. And it's obvious if a person was in that situation, depression would start setting in. And of course it did. But here's what's amazing. Christian remembered that he had a key called promise. And he had this key. And that's great and wonderful. He got a key. But hopeful says, well, don't just sit there and admire the key. Do something with it. Oh, okay. Put it in the lock and turn it and see if it works. In other words, exercise the hope that you have within you. Don't just sit there and say, yeah, I have hope. That's good. I have hope that God's going to see me through. Okay, that's good. We'll take the key, the God's promises, put it in the lock and turn. Okay? Turn the key. Well, guess what happened? It worked. It unlocked the lock and they were able to escape. Well, you know, that's a very simple, short story. Okay? It's not that simple sometimes in life. Because there's a lot of things that it's like a whole process, and this process leads to another thing, and then maybe it's like you have to use that hope as a key in God's promises in several locks. You understand what I'm saying here? This is just one lock that was keeping them in there. But maybe it's like, oh Lord, I got like 15 of them here. And some of them are intertwined, and some, I don't even know where the locks are at, but sometimes you feel like that. Lord, what do I do with this? What do I do with your promises? You know, I'm thankful that God knows where we're at. He's God omniscient, God omnipotent, and God omnipresent. He's all powerful, all knowing. And you think of, I've used this phrase many times before, but nothing surprises God. God is never caught off guard. God is never stumped saying, what am I going to do now? And just wringing his hands and pacing the floors of heaven, so to speak, saying, man, I don't know what I'm going to do. Man, this is a tough one. Does he ever have that mindset? Okay, then, because he is God, he is the highest of the highest. He's King of kings. He's the creator, all these things. And so, Lord, help us to exercise and to, with joyful expectation, take the keys, his promises, and his word. Say, Lord, help me to know how to apply them. Help me to know how to and when, and help me understand it, Lord. Help me understand your word and to rightfully apply it to my life. Because, Lord, I know great is thy faithfulness. Yes. And out of your compassions, they fail not. They're new every morning. The fact that I was able to get up out of bed this morning and come here to worship service, that's a miracle in itself. Take snow out of the equation. An inch. But no, the point is, you realize all of us physically, our bodies are such a wonderful, marvelous creation. Yet things can happen like that. Things can happen like that on the highway. You understand my point here? But you know, we should not have to fear or dread tomorrow. Because of sitting around thinking, oh, I may have an accident. Oh, I may come down with a sickness. Or oh, I may have a heart attack. All the Satan, he'll keep you busy worrying about all those things. And you'll lose your hope from within. And you'll be focused on all the negative things. Yeah, you understand the point here. But Lord, help us to have a joyful expectation. And look at it as an opportunity for God to work and move in our lives. And make something, as with the natives there in Australia, they didn't know they needed shoes till someone came and showed them. You know, it's the same with us sometimes. We don't know how bad we need the Lord in a situation till God comes by and shows us. Let me show you how to wear those. Let me show you how to use. Let me show you how I can be helpful in this situation. And time again. And isn't God good this morning? And isn't He worthy to be trusted and to have hope and confidence in? I want to say this in closing. When it comes to dread, let go of it. And in exchange for that, embrace hope. Exercise it. Let it be a part of you. Have it within you. Take it out like hopeful, encouraged Christian to do. Take the keys of His promises, put it in the lock, and just try it. just test God. Try God. Say, Lord, here You are. Here I am. Now, Lord, You do the rest. You know where I'm at. You know the locks. You know the dungeon or the whatever the situation is. But again, let go of dread and embrace hope. Pray for me. I'll be faithful to the Lord.